You have your Bibles with you this morning. If you would, turn to the second chapter of the book of Titus. Titus chapter number 2. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know what this afternoon, this evening holds. We don't know when our next breath may or may not come. Life is a precious gift, and we don't know the extent of it. But we need to take advantage of every opportunity that we have. And I hope that this morning that God has allowed us this privilege and this opportunity to be here. And I hope that we'll do with it exactly what God would have done. This is a very familiar, I'm going to probably read into chapter 3 a little bit. And I know there's a verse in chapter 3 I quote often. And but the Lord's kind of led us this way. We had a thought, honestly, this morning, we had a thought on our heart and didn't have any scripture to go along with it. And the Lord just brought this to our remembrance. And we want to do the best we can with the thought that God has laid on our heart. But the thought on our minds this morning is obligation. And you may say, well, that might entail a lot of things, and I know that it does. But I want to speak specifically to the obligation of Calvary. And I have heard, and I'm sure that you have too, all my life, I have heard, and this is not to to discredit anybody, but I have always heard that Christ is obligated to us to offer us salvation one time. Have you heard that? It's okay. Have you heard that? Yes. Let me say it to you this way. Christ is not obligated to us for anything. Christ obligated himself to Calvary. Now our obligation is to Calvary. Amen? Christ does not owe us anything. Amen? He is not obligated to offer his hand of grace, his hand of mercy. Christ is not obligated to fallen man, which is sinful in his sight, which is the same sin that God cannot even look upon. So I want you to understand, friends, this morning, that there is no obligation from Christ to us, but the obligation is from Christ to Calvary, and now our obligation in turn relies from us to Calvary. Amen? There's a difference. Because we make God this puppet on a string when he's obligated to us. And God is not obligated to us for anything. Amen? If there ever be obligation, it is us to him. So friends, listen, if we want grace, if we want understanding, if we want the forgiveness of God, then we must approach the cross of Calvary. Amen. But I'm glad through the third person of the Holy God. Listen, as we look at the Trinity, the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Ghost, I'm glad that his wounds and that the drawing power and the Spirit of God through his infinite love and his grace and his great love and mercy, it reaches down from the portals of glory, extends into the hearts of the men, women, boys, and girls, and draws them by obligation and by desire to Calvary, where we can find peace, grace, mercy, and forgiveness. Amen. He's not obligated to us. We're obligated to him. Amen. Titus chapter 2, verse number 11. For the grace of God, listen, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation. I'm going to stop right there just briefly. The word salvation is the Greek word sozo, S-O-Z-O. And I'm sure that's pronounced incorrectly because there's one of them little marks over the O. So whatever that does to it, amen? But the word sozo in the Greek, in the English translation, is to be kept in a perfect or unaltered condition. Amen? Listen, that's what the word salvation means. I want you to get that into your brain. If you don't ever remember anything I've ever said, I want you to remember that Preacher Chris told us that the word salvation is the Greek word sozo, which means to be kept in a perfect or unaltered condition. Amen. So listen, now as we have studied that, we want to go forward. Listen, it says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Amen. Boy, ain't that good. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. A-double-L, underscore it. Friends, listen. All men, and I want to preach on this here in just a minute, and we may just stop and preach on it right now. We may just preach on verse by verse. And if we do that, we'll be here. If you give me about 10 minutes, we'll be here about 70 to 80 minutes. So, but listen, as we look right here, if we take the word salvation and the grace of God, and it has appeared to all men, listen, I'm glad that John 3:16, the Bible said, for God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I don't know about you, but friends, this morning I'm glad that I'm a nameless individual, but I was included in the whosoever's. Amen. What tribe are you from? Glory to God, I'm a whosoever. Amen. I believe tomorrow Hayden, he starts celebrating at school Dr. Seuss's birthday. Amen. And they get to dress up different characters every day this week through school. And I'm glad this morning that I'm a whosoever. Amen. Who are you? I'm a whosoever. And that's exactly who you are. Amen. Because the alls get included in the whosoevers. And the whosoevers get to go to heaven. Amen. So now listen. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation. Amen. So I want to emphasize these words right here. Because so often we just read through the scripture and we don't see the significance and the importance of the words that are used in the text. Amen. For the grace of God. What is the word grace? Grace is the unmerited favor of God toward man. Amen. What does that mean? That means that we get something that we do not deserve. Amen. So now we have the grace of God. What is the grace of God? It's the favor of God. Did we deserve it? No. But now the Bible says that because he loves us, amen, because of his love, now he's brought his grace. And now what has grace brought? Grace has brought salvation. What is salvation? Salvation is to be kept in a perfect or unaltered condition. And what is it now? As it has appeared to all men. Amen. So, friend, do not tell me this morning, preacher, I've gone too far, I've done too much, and I've sinned far too great to be saved. Because the Bible says that the grace of God that bringeth salvation has come to you. Amen. Boy, I'm glad, friends, this morning. Listen to me. I'm glad that, listen, when God drug the bottom of the barrel, he grabbed me on the way through. Amen. Let me tell you something. The only thing that separates the... Listen, there's a lot of people... I believe this, and I want to say this with all the love and honesty in my heart. There's a lot of good people going to go to hell. Preacher, how can you say that? Because, listen, let me tell you, heaven is not a place for good people. Heaven is a place for saved people. Amen. So, friends, let me tell you something. There might be a lot of people that you don't like here on this earth, but they're saved. You're going to spend eternity with them. Amen? Friends, let me tell you something. I'm glad that God's grace is sufficient to all men. Now, as we've laid this groundwork, let's read into verse number 12. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath now appeared to all men. Now we get into verse 12. Teaching us that... Now, this is where we as Baptists, we want verse 11, but we don't want verse 12. Amen? Because now we got to do something about it. Amen. One of the greatest errors in the Baptist church today, and I want to speak to you because I'm part of it. Amen. We are the greatest in the world at evangelizing. Amen. But I don't believe that there's any better in preaching the true, undefiled, saving gospel than the Baptist church. I do that. I believe they do a wonderful job at getting the gospel out. But then where we fail is we do not disciple in the Word of God. Amen. Because listen, what did Jesus do after he called? He made them disciples. Amen. Listen, what does the scripture teach us to do? Make disciples. How do you become a disciple? You study, you pray, you teach, you learn, and you grow. Amen. So now we see the grace of God that brings salvation has now appeared to all men. Verse number 12. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Amen. If God saves us, He requires of us holy living. Amen. Jesus said, be holy, for I am holy. Amen. Now you say we're preaching. Now you're going from a Baptist preacher to a holiness preacher. Amen. I'm going to tell you, I'm sick of classifications and denominations. Amen. What kind of preacher are you? I want to be known as the guy who preaches the Word of God. Amen. What do you believe? The Bible. Amen. I've said this numerous amounts of times. I'm glad that Jesus got me before the Baptist did. Amen. Listen, they ain't the only people going to heaven. Saved people are going to heaven. Preacher, you're rough on the Baptist. Why in the world are you one? I want to say this. I believe that they are the closest denomination to the Word of God. And I'll tell you this, amen, if there was something out there that was better, that's what I'd be. Amen? Teaching us to deny ungodliness. It is our obligation as saved Christians to deny ungodliness. Amen? The sin-cursed world that we live in and all the things that residually affect us as Christians today. Friends, let me tell you something. The ungodliness and the worldly lusts. I want to speak to this for just a minute. Amen. I'm going to preach to you and I'm probably going to make your cheeks red. But amen, listen. It needs to be preached on because the reason that the church is in the shape that it's in is because we're scared to preach on it. Amen. Worldly lusts. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. Our world today, listen. The secret sin of the United States of America, I want every eye to look at me, is pornography. You can breathe now. The secret sin, we can commit it in our own personal space. We're not affecting, offending, hurting anybody. And because we're doing this, listen, we're not hurting anybody but ourselves. But what I'm telling you is we are destroying homes and families and marriages over lust and not love. Amen. We are destroying homes over lust. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. 50%. And now listen, I'm going to speak to you now. Don't you judge me. But I'm just going to preach to you. Amen. And you can get mad at me, but after you get mad at me, I want you to listen to what I'm saying. 50% of the church today is divorced. Amen. And why? What is the result mostly of these divorces? It's lust, not love. Lust is destroying our country. Amen? Lust. You say, preacher, you don't know nothing about that. I'm going to tell you, I lived in a divorce home threefold, three times. Amen? I know exactly what it's like. My daddy left me when I was 9 months old. My second stepdaddy was an alcoholic who disappeared one Sunday. And the stepfather that I have now, I love him dearly. And I thank God that he sent him into my life and my mother's life because he loves and he cares for my mother. Amen. Don't tell me I don't know what I'm talking about. I've lived through it my entire life. I know what it is as a 35-year-old man to have the hair stand up on the back of your neck when your mama and daddy are in the same room together because you just don't like the situation. Amen. I'm going to preach to you, like it or not. Amen. But you know what destroyed that? Lust. Amen. I'm not going to stand here and tell you something that didn't happen. Listen, my daddy left me and my mother for another woman. Amen. He's got another family. But you know what destroyed this? Listen, everything, listen, going forward in the heat of the moment. This is what I want Christians today to understand. In the heat of the moment, after personal satisfaction and hungering for the lust of the flesh, we never give thought to the implications that it has on the lasting foreverness of our future. That's why I believe it's important to preach on it. Amen. Because we need to think about our decisions before we make them. Amen. Now you say, preacher, you hate divorced people. No. And I do not. Listen, that's why people, they draw up in knots and they get mad at their preacher for preaching on certain things. Listen to me. I love everybody. Amen. I love you. Listen, I love my daddy. I love my mama. I love every one of you. What I hate is sin. Amen. Listen to me. How many times when you take out the trash, do you throw away the trash can? Do you throw away the trash can? Do you throw away the trash can, Eddie? Glory to God, I'm glad God never throws us away, but he gets rid of the trash in us. Amen. Too many of the church today, they're throwing out the can with the trash. I want the cans. Just get rid of the trash. Amen. I want them any way I can get them. Don't you? Had a man tell me one time, preacher, you don't care what they dress like. No. I said, if they've got on swimming trunks, tank top, and flip-flops, and they don't have Jesus, bring them where I'm at and let me preach to them. Amen. I want to preach. Listen, there's too many people today. God didn't tell you that he called you to preach to the Baptist people. Hey, man, I don't care who calls or where it is. Glory to God, if God gives me opportunity to go preach revival, I don't care if it's the Methodist, the Presbyterian, the Holiness. I don't care if it's the Catholic Church. Glory to God, if God has opened the door, we need to go. Hey, man, he's called us to share his word. Not with just certain people, but to the world. Amen. Preach it to the world. Amen. It's the best thing I know of. If we confess our sins, 1 John 1:9, the Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm going to tell you something, amen, because there's a lot of people, they think, well, preacher, you just like to pick on people. Let me tell you something. It don't matter if you're hung in drug addiction or alcoholism. It don't matter if you're in fornication, amen, adultery, It don't matter what you get hung up in. The fact of the matter is, we as people and individuals, we are the ones who title sin. But there's a lot of people that are in the church today that have a stone cold heart against God, who will not and won't, and all they want to do is constantly judge with their nose up in the air, amen, and say, I wonder what they're going to the altar about. I wonder what they're praying about. Listen, if they'd get things right in their own life, we wouldn't have to straighten it out in the church house. How many times have you heard that? Amen. I'm glad Jesus said, my house is not a den of thieves, but a house of prayer. Amen. I'm telling you, there's a lot of people sitting in the church who's got a hard heart, that you're just as much in sin as somebody that's the furthest away from this place. But God said, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. I want these young people around Silver City to not make the same choices and decisions that I made when I was a young man. Don't you? I don't want my kids to make the same. I don't want them to fail in life the ways that I did. Amen. You know, it's hard. As a preacher, as a pastor, sometimes when you have people from your past come into the church and it just runs cold chills up your back. Because the last time you seen them, neither one of you was in a certain good place. Amen. It hurts. It hurts me to the core to know of how many of the people, and I'm going to be honest with you, how many of the people that I went to the, listen, to the low pits of hell in them parties with all the nonsense, drugs and alcohol and all the things that were the furthest away from God, the places that I found myself in and the people I was with who, because, listen, and I was saved. But because of my influence in that time, how many of the people in my past, because of my decisions in my past, have I affected all throughout the future because I was there then and I'm here now? You see, that's where I think, you know, one thing we have forgot that we need to be in the church is real. Quit being fake. Fake people, you just make me mad, just to be honest. You make me sick, really. Be who you're going to be, own it, and don't be ashamed of it. Amen? If you're going to live one way in the world, live the same way in the church. But if you're going to live one way in the church on Sunday morning, live it the rest of the week so you can be an influence on others for the cause of Christ. Amen. Be one way or the other. Quit being fake. Because fake people is the reason that we can't get anybody in the church house on Sunday morning to hear the gospel. Amen? It's because we are not committed Christians, for one, anymore. See, that's where we believe the lie of the devil. That's where I started, obligation. You see, we've been told our whole life that Christ is obligated to us. Let me tell you the dangers in living a life with Christ obligated to us, is we can live any way we want to. We can do what we please, go where we want to go, do what we want to do, but Christ is obligated to us. But now if we live in regard to where we are obligated to the cross, you see, it changes our state of thinking. It changes our decision making. Because now no longer is the cross obligated to us. Now we're obligated to the cross. So if we want blessings, if we want grace, if we want mercy, if we want peace in our lives, how many houses and homes and peoples do you see today who just do not have peace? Amen. I'm not talking about money. There's a lot of people in this world who have money, who can pay all their bills. Listen, from now until December, they can lay down at night and they can't go to sleep because there's no peace. Glory to God, I can be 6 months behind on my mortgage, but listen, I'm still saved and I still have peace. What people need today is peace, not financially secure. They need peace. They need Jesus. But see, the devil, and I mean this when I say this, the devil has convinced the world that Calvary is obligated to us. You see the dangers? You see the devil, he doesn't tell you that the word is a lie. He just takes the word and distorts it. Amen? That's how he beguiled Eve and Adam in the garden. The Bible said he was the most subtle beast of the field. The Bible said in 1 Peter, it said, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. In Revelation chapter number 12, the scripture speaks to us, and it said, rejoice ye heavens and ye that dwell in them, but woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, for he knoweth he hath but a short time. In Revelation chapter 17, you'll find where the Bible said the mother Babylon, the harlot, the great harlot, she came down. Listen, and she offered her wine and intoxicated the world. You see, it's the devil. She's come down and she's spilling her own doctrine. And not only is she spilling it, but we're drinking it. So now we have evolved as Christians into this worldly state of living where we think that Calvary is now obligated to us. How could we ever in our right minds possibly conceive, if we be truthful and honest about the matter, how could we ever rightfully conceive in our minds that the Son of God, who loved us emphatically, listen, the precious crown jewel and diadem of heaven, when they searched the heavens, the earth beneath, and none was found worthy, who gloriously presented himself as a lamb slain before the slaughter, who come down, he robed himself in a cloak of flesh. And he took and he bore upon him my sin. Listen, he was scourged in the streets of Jerusalem. He was hated by his peers, by his friends. He was beaten. He was disbanded. They were disloyal. They left him, every one. But John and his mother, and they crucified him. Yet he loved us so much, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Held 12 legions of angels at bay. Had he called one angel, salvation would be extinct. and we would all right now be in hell. Yet he stayed heaven's army, and he offered forgiveness instead. Went to the cross of Calvary, hung there. He willingly gave up his life. On the third day, he gloriously took his life back again. And now he is seated forever on the right hand of the throne of God, making and giving intercession to you and I. Now, what in your right mind ever made you think that he was ever obligated to us in any right? Amen. If you've ever had any humble bone of compassion in your body to see a man who loved us that much, his obligation is not to us, but now our obligation is entirely to him.
Amen.
Now, as we leave this morning service, let's try and live our lives as Christ is our obligation. In our decisions, in our business deals, in our friendships, in our marriages, in our relationships with our children, in our relationships with our parents. Amen. You saying, preacher, listen, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be honest with you this morning. That's why, listen, I don't ever like to stand in the pulpit and brag on the devil. Amen. But I like to be open and honest with people because, listen, I'm just going to tell you something. There's nothing, my sin, there is nothing that separates me from any of you. The only thing is, as an 8-year-old child, I received Christ as my Savior. I'm heaven bound. I'm gloriously been forgiven, justified, sanctified, one day glorified. And one, let me tell you something. The only thing that separates me and you is the blood of Jesus. Amen. I love my wife more than I love myself. I would lay down my life for her and my children. But I would not trade my salvation with hers. Because I know exactly what I have. You see, you can tell me, and I can. Now, I believe through the witness of the Holy Spirit with my wife, I believe that the Spirit has borne witness that we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And I believe I can. I have confidence in her testimony. But what I'm telling you is if you have a salvation that you would trade, then you need to come get saved.
Amen.
What? Amen. Because if you've got something you'd get rid of, you ain't got what I've got.
Amen.
Amen. Because I ain't turning loose of what I have.
That's right.
Amen. As a fellow said, told Dean Bryant one time, Dean Bryant, he's a great man of God from Dahlonega. He's just a great, great man of God. Somebody said, told Dean one time, he said, Dean, sometimes I just wished I could have what you have. He said, get down on your knees and let me take you to the man who can give you what you need. Amen. I'm telling you something, friends, this morning. If there is any inkling of doubt that you would surrender, I run a revival one time at Yellow Creek. There was 8 people saved in summer revival. Every single one of them was church members. I've long said, if we can get the church saved, then we can start working on the world. You see, when you pillow your head on a Tuesday night about 3:00 in the morning, when you hear that little voice speak to your heart and everybody else is asleep and the house is still and the room is black. Somewhere in the back of your mind, way down deep in the bottom of your heart, you say something's not right. Then you come back to the church house. And somewhere through the music and through the singing and through the Sunday school teaching and through the office of a deacon or being ordained a preacher, somewhere through the middle of all that, that inkling can be pushed down, pushed back. Then on 2 o'clock in the morning on Tuesday night at 3 o'clock in the morning when everybody's asleep in the blackness of the night, a little voice wakes you up again. And you say, there's something not right. You see, I don't want people to live their lives lost in a position, lost in a church, lost in communion, lost in baptism, lost in a persuasion, lost in a preacher, lost in a false conversion, lost in a card signing, lost in this, lost in church, but they're still lost. You see, I want you to come to the point in your life when that moment when it's just you and God and everything else is gone. That's the only thing that matters. But you see, I'm glad on Tuesday morning at 3 o'clock in the morning when everybody's asleep and the room is black and darkness, and when that still small voice speaks, it's not a place of emptiness, but it's a place of joy, and there's peace beyond all measure. And I know if I died that heaven would be my home. You see, that's the place I want to take everybody to. Not that place where you're wrapped up with people all around you, and mamas and daddies and grandmas and grandpas and in church and being persuaded. Don't you remember when you was baptized, and don't you remember doing this, and don't you remember doing... I want to take you to that place where it's just everybody's gone and it's just you and God. Amen. If he's still God when it's just you and God, then you've got something you can take to the bank. Amen. Come back tonight and I'll preach the other 4 or 5 verses. Stand to your feet. Y'all come with a song. I didn't get to the good part. Verse 13 says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, this journey, my friend, this journey is not without reward. Somebody asked Billy Poole one time, and I know a lot of preachers y'all don't know, but Dean Bryant, Billy Poole, Spud English, and Jack Pierce is all my mentors and all my heroes. And they're all but one or two going home to be with the Lord, and oh, how I miss them. Don't you miss those saints? Oh, I do. Somebody asked Billy Poole one time, they said, Billy, how does that preaching working out for you? They paying you good? He said, well, we living on water and bread, but the retirement plan's out of this world. Quit putting stock into everything down here. And let's for once look in the light of eternity. Where does your obligation lie? That's my question to you this morning. Where is your obligation? Do you think that Calvary is obligated to you, or do you now know that our obligation is to Him?